Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 14th of September, 2020. I am Steve, and we have got Colin McKee, the talent, who is in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, I'm doing good, mate. I'm doing good.
Right, straight
hopefully
into
get a quick show. Yeah.
Right. Spurs 0, Everton 1. Thoughts?
Oh, poor. Very, very poor. As I say, I think a lot of us with all been sort of quite excited at the thought, here we go, league maybe starting again and a couple of new signings in. Yes, we all haven't got all the players that we want. But honestly, Steve, that performance yesterday, it just knocked the stuffing clean out of me. There was nothing to it. There was no fight, no desire, no dare, as the new slogan goes. You know, dare to walk your... dare to walk the skywalk, dare to do this, dare to do that. Not one player on that pitch showed any dare at all. It was worse than anything I think we've seen last season. That was my biggest worry about yesterday's performance. I was definitely expecting to see a lot more. Obviously, the documentary's been on where we're seeing about him trying to turn us into winners and show a bit more fight on the pitch and a wee bit more desire. And look, there's clips of Mourinho that I really like behind the scenes. Whether it's all exactly what he does, I don't know. But yesterday just showed me a team lacking in any quality, any fight for each other, any fight for the manager. And for this to be the first game of the season, it was so, so worrying to watch. It really was. And there's no point us sitting here tonight trying to brush over a few things. You know, we've got to be honest about what we've seen, and for 90 minutes there was no effort by one person on that pitch. That was my biggest frustration out of it.
Yeah, I mean, particularly what we're really talking about is the second half, aren't we? I mean, the first half was first half was average. I thought we started pretty well first 5-10 minutes. I thought actually we don't look too bad, we look all right. We certainly, without Lachelso in the side, it's our best 11. Some people would have gone for Bergwijn rather than Moura, fair enough.
Yeah, I would have.
And, you know, again, first 5-10 minutes, I thought we looked pretty decent. Then I thought Everton came back and for the next 10-20 minutes would look really, really good. They should have scored through Lachelso. And I thought, you know, we're in trouble. Then we had a great chance, and I thought, you know, obviously the first half ended. It was cagey. It wasn't, you know, free flowing football from either side. Both sides have got, you know, old managers, if you like, who have got a winning mentality. And I thought that one of the lines from the All or Nothing documentary was when Jose said the way you win games is by not conceding goals, and I thought that was really interesting because, and I mentioned it on the last show, where Harry Redknapp's philosophy would have been, the way you win games is by, you know, pushing forward and being attractive, being creative, win 3-2 rather than lose, rather than win 1-0, sort of that whole mentality of not so much it conceding, you know what I mean, like that whole way, but I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. Yeah, great. So the way you win football matches is by not conceding, but if you do concede, then you surely then need to have that offense, that attack. And It was just telling that in the post-match interview, Jose said, when they scored, they had the positivity, they had the towels up. And I was almost like, yeah, but haven't... also, when a team scores, they've got that vulnerability, haven't they? They've got that, Right, okay, they've scored. They're probably going to want to sit back, and now let's attack. Where was our desperation, if you like, to get that equaliser?
Yeah, like, you're right. There was nothing, Steve, and I think that's what's annoyed most of probably every one of us, every Spurs fan out there that's watching these games and maybe listening to our show and the other podcasts out there. I think that was the big thing. Look, we've always said, if we're seeing our players give 100% and we lose a game, yes, we're gutted because we want Spurs to win every game, but at least we can see something there. We can see that there's fire in them, that there's fight, that they want to play for the club. There was just nothing, Steve. You're right. Like the first half, yes, if I really think about it, it was okay. It was the first half, first game of the season. We probably had the better chances. But that second half performance, and, you know, we'll go on to, you know, we'll move into Dele Alli, the substitution then for the second half. I didn't get it. And to be fair to Dele Alli, and I know he gets a lot of stick from some people, I actually thought he was our one wee bright spark in the first half. I thought he was trying to close down what I seen. He was very unlucky not to score a goal. He was in the round. But, you know, when Mourinho came out after the game and said that it was a tactical change because we weren't pressing high enough against the other team, or, you know, from a creative end of things, to bring on Sissoko and to put him in the position that he did, I just don't understand. I don't get it. And to me, Dele Alli's still there. He's still going to create chances. He's going to score goals for us as well, hopefully. And I just think that change, I just don't get it. And there's been a few things throughout the documentary where I felt that he's been digging Dele Alli out quite a bit. There's been a couple of nice occasions where we've seen him sit with his arm around him and different bits and pieces. But, you know, he's digging him out. And whether, I think it's Mourinho's way of trying to get, like, I'm sure you've seen the bit where he has him in his office, you know, and he's telling them, you know, look, what a player you were. You were up there. But, you know, you've went down there, and the only person that can sort that out is you yourself. And I agreed. I thought it was actually a really good chat. But maybe this is just Mourinho's way. You know, if he doesn't feel that even that chat and he's not getting that response out of Dele Alli, maybe his only way of trying to get this response out of him is to take him off and to say, look, you're still not doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Steve. I just can't put my finger on where we are, where we're going. You know, that was the worst display I have seen from a Spurs team, and I don't know how long. Like, I thought last year was bad, or last season. You know, I thought some of the performances under Mourinho were shocking. And look, everybody knows that listens to us. Both of us wanted Mourinho in as the manager.
Yeah.
So we did. Like, I was delighted that we got him, and I really thought the Man United thing might spark something. To watch this interview, he'd done like an hour documentary with someone from Sky, and he was back in Portugal in his hometown, and I really liked the way he spoke, and he said, look, he's learned a lot of stuff. But I don't know, Steve. This is a crazy thing to say. I honestly think he's got 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
I really do, and he's probably a lucky man that there's no supporters in the ground. And I know Daniel Levy's under a lot of flack, which I'm 100% about. You know, Levy, to me, I just can't have the man at the minute. And yeah. Enoch as well. I know it's obviously Joe Lewis serving the money. We are not being backed, but we understand it's a COVID. But there's clubs like, you know, Aston Villa going out and spending £33 million on a striker who, by the way, if you go by Twitter, none of the Spurs fans want that anyhow because we've never heard of them. Yeah. But, you know, they've went out and spent 33. I think they're going to sign Arsenal's goalkeeper for £18 million. You know, Newcastle went and signed Callum Wilson for £20 million. You know, Mike Isley gets slagged to death there. You know, he's went out and spent £50-60 million. You know, you look at Everton, look at their recruitment.
Yeah.
You know, the other big thing about, sorry to jump ahead there, at the end of the game when you listen to Decore being interviewed, I don't know whether you listen to it, but, you know, you could hear him say that he wanted to come and play for Ancelotti. Now, when we got Mourinho, my whole thought was players are going to want to come and play for Mourinho.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that maybe they don't. You know, maybe they don't. You know, like, we've been linked with the likes of a Diego Costa. You would imagine if Mourinho wanted Diego Costa and he called him. You said this before in a previous podcast that we were on, that they would be going, yeah, right, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming. I think maybe he's lost that as well, where guys are going, nah, I don't want to go and play for him anymore. Mm. You know, so it's worrying time, Steve. It's mad to be saying this after one game, but yeah. Thursday night, if we don't perform and go out to this Bulgarian side, can't even pronounce them, and then we have got a major game against Southampton on Sunday. They lost their first game, looked poor as well.
Yeah.
But if we don't perform against Southampton, I think he's under pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can only do the other side of the coin, Colin, which is if we go out on Thursday, then we haven't got that fixture pile up.
Yeah.
Right.
But we want to win a trophy as well.
You know,
I'd prefer to win that than the Carling Cup.
the Europa?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Champions League place. So
yeah. You
know, previously, we'd have gone back and forth on Europa. But ever mm-hmm. since we've been out of the Europa competition, because we've been in Champions League, all of a sudden, overnight, it, of course, became a Champions League place. So it is a competition that gets you a double whammy. It gets you a trophy, it gets you a Champions League place, and it also, previously when we were in it, you know, Chelsea and Arsenal were always in the Champions League. So it was always a Mickey Mouse competition. Now it's not, because obviously Chelsea have won it a couple of times. Arsenal wanted to win it last year, so they can't ram that down our throats anymore. Europa Cup, Arsenal are in it. This is the first time ever, I think, that we're both in it. So yes, in terms of winning it, it would be a good competition to win. But I'm just looking at the fixtures and I'm looking at our squad and I'm thinking, how on earth can we even contemplate? We've lost our first game without those competitions. We've now got to go to Bulgaria, which is a four-hour flight there. We'll probably play our strongest side, I'd imagine. Maybe a couple of changes here and there. But because of the weekend fixture, you know, I presume Jose will say, well, go again. You know, go and sort it out. Go and build your confidence. I don't know. He might bring Lamella in. He might bring, Sessegnon wasn't even on the bench. But I doubt he'll play Ndombele. I doubt he'll play, Sanchez might come in. But I don't think he'll change the fullbacks. Possibly Serge Aurier might come in. I don't know. But, I think he'll probably go with maybe six or seven out of the side that played. But then we've got Southampton, who we are their rivals at the moment, because obviously Portsmouth aren't in the top flight and Bournemouth aren't anymore. So Southampton will look at that as their biggest rival game. They just do with Tottenham. They can't stand us. So that's a massive game, and we don't always do well against Southampton, do we? We've struggled, in fact, the last few years.
Yeah.
Then we've got the cup game, and we know that's going to be at Plymouth. That's just a given, right? That's probably a longer trip than going to Western Europe, Eastern Europe, whatever. We've got to go to Plymouth or Leighton Orient, who will want to kick lumps out of us, right? Local rivals. So you've got that game. Then you've got to go to Macedonia. Is it Macedonia mm-hmm. or Albania, whatever?
Yes.
Then we're playing Newcastle, who mm-hmm. have got Callum Wilson, who people didn't want. This, that, and the other. He's a player that is in the Jermaine Defoe role mould. He's the perfect player to come and play alongside Kane. You'd have the tall man, short man, England caps, good little player. The trouble with him, with the Bournemouth thing, which is why people look at stats and everything, is he's injured a little bit. So maybe, yeah, but for 20 million. So, look. What are we doing? It's all nothing makes sense, Cole. Nothing.
Yeah. I think that is it. None of us can make any sense of what's going on at our club. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy just to think, you know, where we were, where we thought we were going, Champions League final, and now to be just in like no man's land,
yeah.
Absolute no man's land. You know, with no, I think the most depressing thing is it's the first game of the season, and we're sitting here tonight, like everybody else probably is, thinking, "Oh, that's the season over." That's how it nearly feels. It feels as if we're sitting in 10th place in the league, and we might be able to finish in the top 8. That's how it sort of feels. But look, there's 3 massive weeks of this transfer window left. Unfortunately, and I'll be totally honest how I feel, I don't think we'll do much in it. I really don't. I think the COVID-19 excuse is sitting absolutely perfect for the club at the minute. So I don't think we'll do much in it unless maybe Mourinho decides that maybe Dele Alli is the man that has to go to raise the funds, or, you know, Serge Aurier might go. You know, there's going to be a few names there. But, you know, one of the biggest things when I watched us yesterday, and I looked around that team, and there was no one but excited me. No one excites me. Bar some. Like, I love Sonny. And on his day, I think he's one of the best players in the world. Look, Harry Kane's Harry Kane. But he didn't even look interested yesterday either. There is, other than those two players, there is nobody on that pitch that excites me.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Davies, I know he's a steady left back. If we think we're going to go anywhere with a Ben Davies, like, I'm watching the Chelsea game here as we're talking. Even Alonso, he's got a bit of quality about him.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of class about him. You know, Matt Doherty signed for us. I think he'll be good once he settles in. He showed a few good glimpses yesterday. I think he'll be a goal scorer for us. You know, but defending, I don't know whether he's going to be much better than Serge Aurier, because I watched him play for Ireland last week, and the only reason I watched that game was to watch him, and he scared me in that game.
Really?
He didn't look that quick. He didn't look that great, to be honest with you. You know, Eric Dier, you know, I'm talking about players like Ben Davies, Eric Dier, Sissoko, Winks, guys that 3-4 years ago we were going, well, they were our backup players whenever we got injuries, and we would have sat and went, you know, look, when Danny Rose gets hurt or Kyle Walker, well, we've got those boys to come in.
Yeah.
And when Moussa Dembele's hurt, well, it's quite good because Moussa Sissoko can come in or Harry Winks can cover him. You know, that's the way we talk. Now those guys are our number one players. Yeah. When you think about it, you think about that now, they are now, our fringe players are now our number one picks in our first 11.
Yeah.
That is scary.
And they haven't improved, have they? They haven't, like,
no.
They haven't, like, improved. So you go, yeah, they've improved so much. Like Danny Rose was a poor left back, but he improved so much that it was like, yeah, he's now a really good left back. Ben Davies has just been Ben Davies. He hasn't improved. He's in fact, if anything, he's got worse, because at you know, going back 2 or 3 years ago, when we used to switch the two, game by game by game by game, Walker for Trippier, Davies for Rose, we did it like, because we were in cups and stuff, we switched them all the time. And they were, all of them were great whenever they played, really, really good. Davies hasn't improved. I mean, giving the ball away to the Everton, it's like, how comes we've got these players that you go, yeah, you know, it's a solid left back, he doesn't make, oh, he's just made a mistake in the first game of the season, after 20 minutes, give the ball straight to Richarlison, who should have scored. You know, Doherty, I think, is a really, really good signing, solid right back. But then you look at Chilwell, who's left to go to Chelsea, and I look at Leicester, and I go, hang on, who's the right back? Oh, it's the Belgian right back.
Yeah, Belgium, who scores on his debut?
Belgium is the second or maybe the first best team in the world, and Leicester have got him, and he scores, and he's the man of the match. Sorry. Yeah. Why haven't we got the Belgian right back?
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't we got the Irish right back?
Yeah.
Why didn't we get rid of Aurier, who no one likes, and go and get those two? Perfect. The two of them switch around. Marcus Alonso from Chelsea, who, of course, Mourinho knows really well. Is Alonso playing tonight?
Yeah, he's playing. Yeah.
So where's Chilwell?
He's injured, I think.
Right, okay.
I don't think he's ready.
Well, surely, when Chilwell goes to Chelsea, right, surely we go, Mourinho goes, well, let's get Alonso then. Get straight on the phone to him. Straight on the phone. Mate, come to Spurs.
Yeah.
I know the whole,
But you're right.
We've got to get past that because we've got to get past the whole Arsenal thing. We've got to get past Maitland-Niles. I'd have had him in a second.
Yeah,
he was the man of the match against Man City, man of the match against Chelsea, and they wanted to sell him for some reason. And Spurs fans, good Spurs fans as well, saying we don't want any Arsenal rejects. And I'm like, let's get an Arsenal reject. Well, let's get a Chelsea reject. Let's get a Liverpool reject. A Man United reject. A Man City reject. The trouble is, we don't get any of those players.
No. This is it. And I think what I was saying there, and that's
because we think we're too good for it. And we're not. We're not too good for their rejects. We're not.
No. Look, 100%. You know, we've got to realise where we are now. But, you know, look, the big thing comes down, and like, yesterday was a disaster. Look, we'll wait and see what happens on Thursday and Sunday. Personally, for me, if we don't get results, we don't perform, I honestly, it's crazy to say. I think the guy has to go. He has to go. I'm going to call it out tonight. I honestly can't see it getting any better, Steve. I really can't under him. I'm sort of wondering, you know, have players, you know, give up on him already? You know, has that happened too? Has he rubbed up too many of these guys the wrong way? But, you know,
are they scared of it? Are they scared? Is it like a? Do you remember when? When Harry Redknapp came into Spurs, the first thing he said is, "What's going on?" And the feedback was that Ramos was too scary.
Yeah.
So the players were scared. Now.
Yeah.
Ramos won.
That's the famous. They weren't allowed any sauce.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp brought the red sauce out.
Yeah. But when I watched the semi final against Arsenal and the final against Chelsea, I honestly think that those wins weren't to do with Ramos. At the time, I always thought it was to do with the players and the desperation to win a cup, particularly Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Who, you know, we know as a player was desperate to do well. He went to Liverpool because he was at Liverpool. He supported everyone, but he was a Liverpool fan. He went there. It didn't work out for him. And rather than, you know, go, okay, I'll sit on the bench and I'll prove myself. He was like, I'm so desperate to play football. I'll just go back to Spurs, which is, you know, a measure of the man that he just wanted to play football. And in that Carling Cup, him and the rest of the guys were just like so desperate to win. I don't think it was to do with Ramos because obviously the league games were so terrible as well. And then we started the next season, 2 points out of 8 games. They were scared. Are the players looking at Mourinho and this whole, you know, I want you to be horrible and substitute the word horrible? Are they going, well, actually, if Harry Redknapp walks in now, he wouldn't say that. Yeah, he'd say get stuck in. Yeah, he'd say show passion. But he'd also say, guys, express yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. You know, Lucas Moura, you know, for the last 2 games, I've watched your videos and you cut back inside all the time. I think someone like Harry Redknapp would go up to Harry Winks and go, I've watched you for 2 years. You haven't played a forward pass since you passed the Trippier and then he passed the Dele Alli to score against Real Madrid. That's what I'm looking at. When was the last time Harry Winks played a brilliant ball forward or a ball forward? And I just wonder if you'd have someone like Harry Redknapp. I'd have Harry Redknapp tomorrow. I really would. So he walks in and goes, right, lads, what's been going on? And I reckon someone like Dele Alli, Harry, we were scared of Jose. We didn't want to put a foot wrong. We thought he'd, with everything going on. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I don't want to say too much because I watched the last three episodes there today. I don't want to say anything too much in case there's people still to watch it, but I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I'll give you another example of Eric Dyer.
I haven't seen the last three yet.
Okay, well, look, I'll give you another example of Eric Dyer. He's turning Eric Dyer into a thug, in my opinion. And I think
Well, he wasn't a thug on Sunday. He was pathetic. No.
Yes, exactly. But when you watch these next episodes as well, there's a few incidents happen. But what I think he's trying to do is he's obviously come in and he's went, I need to toughen these guys up. Everybody's seen the clips of the language that he uses and what he wants us to become. And I think Eric Dyer knows that Mourinho really likes him. And I think Dyer has become his man. And
he wasn't when Calvert-Lewin went and scored. He was pathetic.
Yeah, 100%. So I think when you watch it and you think about it, he's turned us into a team. Look, I'll say one thing about it. I know you haven't seen it. There's an incident, I don't know if it's in the last episode or episode 8, where I forget what the game is after, and he gets them to play an 11-a-side game against each other. And what he's really doing is go out and kick the life out of each other. And Son ends up in the treatment room, and you need to see the guy, the mark on his leg from Eric Dyer absolutely empties him. And there's fights are going on, and Lucas Moura and Serge Aurier are at each other. And it's like, as if he's trying to turn us into this nasty, the way he would have had Chelsea years ago. I'm not saying we're not like it. The players we have, it's not in them. You know, there's clips of Harry Winks going to old people's homes. He's a brilliant guy. He's a brilliant young kid with great talent. And as you're right, I think a Redknapp would get a lot more out of a Harry Winks. I think they're scared. I think he's got a few boys in there he's trying to turn into bully boys. And I don't think it's working. And I think the majority of that squad are not liking what they're seeing.
I'm more than happy if Eric Dyer is kicking lumps out of the opposition each week. But I haven't seen that. I mean, the game against Everton, was it outrageous? Were we tough? How many bookings do we have? Did Gary Neville say, this Spurs team are kicking lumps out of Everton and they're getting beat? No, he said, this is pathetic. They're not running. They're not showing any effort. There's no fight. If he'd have said, or even Kane goes over the top in a challenge. And funnily enough, I was thinking, if Kane would have gone down injured, and properly injured, like his bloody biscuit ankles again, right? What would have happened today and by Friday?
Yeah.
We'd have signed a striker, right? Because there's no option. So I was almost sitting there thinking, do you know what? I quite fancy Kane to go down here. Because we will definitely sign a striker. And then I thought, hang on a minute, I don't want any more injuries to Kane. I thought, if he gets a red card, that could actually... And funny, this is so weird. I mean, I do think strange things. But I thought, with 20 minutes to go, I thought, there's no way we're scoring. We didn't even look close to scoring. So I thought, if Kane gets a little red card here, this is what's going to happen. He'll be forced. Well, he won't be. He can't play in the next three league games, right? So therefore, Harry Kane would definitely play in the Europa games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would sort that out. Okay. He'd have to play Son as the striker. Okay. But again, we'd have to. Then that would force our hand to go into the transfer market to get that striker that we need. Because at the moment, it's still, for some reason, it's Lucas Moura might play up there, or Son can play up there. I mean, presuming that we're going to play a relatively full-strength side against the Bulgarian side, we've then got to come back and play Southampton. Then we've got to play against Leyton Orient, but it will be Plymouth. Then we've got to play again in Macedonia. and then it's Newcastle, and all this without without the striker, which, you know, I don't want to bleat on about it because everybody has, and we just don't look we can get a result anyway, either way, and is people are saying like this result is good because it shows our weaknesses. It shows, but what were we doing today then? Why today isn't Levy and Jose meeting at 8 o'clock this morning and the two of them going, right, what are we going to do? Because quite frankly, I look a mug, you look a mug, what do you want to do? And Jose going, right, well, let's get this guy because we can get this guy tomorrow. Phone call, done. Let's get this guy, you know, the obvious one is Bale, okay? The obvious one is Bale. Mm-hmm. Just to say, listen, don't worry about anyone else. Get Bale and we're done. Wouldn't that sort out everything?
Yeah. Look, I think we'll round it off a bit because I'm sure, I think you've got a few questions there maybe on Twitter. A few have been bleeping up there on my phone. But, you know, I'll put it out. I'm going to have to talk just quickly about transfers and what I think we maybe need. Look, personally, I think the manager needs to go. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I think Mourinho needs to go. I think you're right. I think the players are scared. I don't think we're going anywhere with him. So, for me there, but forget about that. If he stays, we need at least 4 or 5 players in. It's not going to happen. I think we might get 2 if we're lucky. We'll definitely get a striker. Look, we're being linked with this boy, Sorloth or something, played for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, like, terrible.
Terrible for Palace, but one thing I'll say about him, and I'm not just saying it, he played against Northern Ireland last week, my team, here at Windsor Park. And again, he was only playing against Northern Ireland, a lot of people will say. He actually was really good. He's a big, big unit. But he scored 24, 26 goals, I think, out in Turkey. So I seen a clip today to say he actually scored more goals than the whole of the Crystal Palace team scored in the whole season. So, you know, he might be just as bad if they're getting him at a good price. But look, we don't want him. There's talk about this boy, Milic, is it, from Napoli?
Yeah.
No, nothing about him.
I know so little about these.
He'll come in, Steve, and we'll be told that he needs 6 to 8 months to settle. That's what we'll be told. James Rodriguez needed 4 days.
Yeah.
So did Alan. He needed 4 days to settle in. We've got Ndombele. Now, maybe you don't agree with me. I've actually thought he'd done all right whenever he came on yesterday. I seen people slagging him off. I thought he made a few more forward passes than some other players on the team. But, you know, look, we need a left back. We need a centre half. We need a creative midfielder, and we need a centre forward.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Gareth Bale.
And a new manager.
New manager. Look, go out, get Gareth Bale, get Diego Costa, get in a good left back from somewhere. I think they are being linked with the left back. Can't remember the name. And there's another boy sitting there, Coutinho, who obviously Bayern Munich don't really want him. They've used him. Barcelona don't want him. Just go and spend the money and get us a Coutinho in there. You imagine us getting a Coutinho.
Yeah.
You know? Coutinho, Bale. I would sell. I'll sell Dele Alli to get the funds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sell
him. I mean, you know, you look at Kane's, you know, attitude. Terrible. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kane did not look like he wanted to play. He looked annoyed. He looked as if he was like, I'm too good for this team. You know, what am I doing here? Again, you know, if you're not up for it, if you think, you know, you're done, you can go as well. Anyone can go.
Anyone can go.
You know, let's start again. Let's refresh. Let's see what we can do. I think that Bale, you look at the wages, but again, you know, you just say to Gareth Bale, do you want to play football or not? Because we'll pay you 200 grand a week, not a penny more. And if he says no, then do you know what? Expose him. Again, I'm all about this exposing at the moment. And I just get Jose Mourinho And I just say, as Levy, I'd say, next press conference, just slip in the fact that you've asked, you did inquire about a very famous ex-player, and he wouldn't accept the extortion amount of money. We all know what he would be talking about. It exposes it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other thing. Jose Mourinho, what is he going to do? Because we're sitting here saying, if he loses against Southampton and then against Newcastle, which is very possible, okay, what should he do? Because he can either stick around for £15 million a year and, you know, fine, loads of money, you know, might do all right in the end with the club. He won't win anything, you know. Or is he going to turn around and go, actually, my reputation's at stake. I'm not being given the funds. I'm out of here. And go and get the next top job that comes along, which it will do. I mean, Jose Mourinho at the moment is still Jose Mourinho. And in fact, he can come away from all this and just go, okay, you know, I'm walking away. And everyone would go, yeah, we know why you're walking away, because Levy doesn't give you any players. And, you know, and it can go back and forth. Levy can say, whatever. But his stock is still high. It won't be high if he loses against Southampton and Newcastle.
100%. Before you go on to those questions, who would you bring in as a manager if they got rid of him in the next few games?
I think you've got the guy, the Ajax manager.
Okay.
You could go to him and you could say, listen, you know, you build good players, you lose players every year, and that won't stop. If you come to Tottenham, you know, we buy a lot of Ajax players, and, you know, and we'll make assurances. Leipzig manager, someone
that's like that. That's my choice.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
That's my man.
These clever guys, you know.
Young, hungry. You look at the football, the play.
Yeah.
You know, like I watched Leicester yesterday, you know, with Brendan Rodgers against, I know it's West Brom, but look, it's always hard to play those teams that have just come up. Look at Leeds done with Liverpool.
Yeah.
But you watch Leicester attacking. Every time they attacked, there was four or five running into the box.
Yeah.
What did we have yesterday? At most, Kane and Son.
Yeah.
Or you maybe had Dele Alli floating in, or you maybe had a Doherty.
Hmm.
That was it. When do you ever see any of our midfielders breaking into the box to try and score a goal?
Yeah.
It's the style of football as well, Steve. You know, it's... Oh, get the Leipzig manager in. That's my shout.
Yeah.
And bring his whole team with him.
Mark at Big Mac 5. It feels like I'm watching Spurs from the mid-90s again. Midfield passing the ball sideways or backwards, if not giving it away. Why have Kane on the pitch or at the club if you don't pass the ball to him in the box? Am I missing the master plan here? That's Mark Big Mac 5.
Yeah, he's right, and that's how it does
feel. Jerry Francis, isn't it? It's watching Jerry Francis again.
It is. It's all over again. And I think, you know, we sort of tried to give a wee bit of a bye ball because of lockdown and this negative football when we come back. Then we went on a nice wee run, and we sort of thought, oh, here, maybe it is coming together. And then we were absolutely woeful against Crystal Palace in the last game of the season. So I think we all sort of thought, oh, he's bound to have got it sorted out now, because, you know, did they really have a break? They probably had a couple of weeks holiday, these guys, and he's had time. He's come out yesterday and tried to say that, oh, they're not really fit enough yet and we haven't really had a chance. I haven't heard any other manager say that, you know, but Mark's right what he's saying. You know, it is like a flashback, and if there had been podcasts back on that day, they'd probably be talking the way we are now.
It is.
But here, at least they had some good players back then as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just paused. Quick wee. One sec.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next question is from Dan Jones. After watching the documentary, I was so excited for this season. 90 minutes in, it's quite depressing. Newcastle, Villa, etc. So-called smaller club spending. Another year, same thing. Squad not sorted before the start of the season. Embarrassing. He's right.
Yeah, Dan, you're spot on. You know, no one can argue with it. You know, and I think that is the frustration. You know, and you know, we see teams like Villa, Newcastle. They're going to be signing guys that we probably, you know, I think we've got to the stage, and this is another thing we all need to realise. You know, we're still sort of under that thought of we should be signing these top stars. Do you know what I mean? Unless they are a mega name, we all think that they're crap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Højbjerg, we haven't even spoke about him earlier on in the game. I was actually delighted when we got him, but yesterday I sort of was watching him going, he didn't even look like a footballer.
Yeah.
And he's a really strange, he's very, very small looking.
Yeah.
I actually thought I don't know whether it's the kit. And when he played for Southampton, I always imagined that he was this big, strong looking centre midfielder. Maybe just take him a while to settle in. But you know, Dan's right. You know, these teams, and we are being left behind. I think to say we haven't got the players in before the season started, I think it's been difficult for everybody this year, bar Chelsea, just with the way the transfer window is and the way things are at the minute. You know, if you look at Man United, they've signed one player, I think, as well. You know, bar Chelsea, who we all know have got the oil money and they're a plastic team and plastic club. You know, they're just able to go out and fire 200, 300 million and change it round. So, look, we're never going to be able to compete with that. I actually tweeted out yesterday about if anybody knows the number for the consortium or whoever those guys were that wanted to buy Newcastle, could they let them know that there's a nice big shiny stadium in North London that might be up for sale?
Yeah.
I would love it. I would love it, Steve.
Where is our buyer?
Why are they looking at Newcastle? Why are they not looking at someone like us?
Yeah. You know,
I don't get that.
They say, oh, Levy, because Levy wants too much money. I mean, but if Levy wants money, then, you know, he's got to take money at some point. He can't just go, well, I want 2 billion. And they say, well, we're not going to pay 2 billion. And then Levy goes, well, all right then. Well, you know, you can't. At some point, Levy will surely go, well, I want the money. Because you can't just go, well, that's that then. I mean, it is obviously. I mean, the stadium rights. Why it's not the Amazon Arena? You know, why it's not the Nike Stadium?
Yeah.
Is beyond me. I mean, you know, whatever they've. I mean, they've surely offered some money.
There has to be. Look at the American football deal that's been done.
They have offered. Can we call the stadium the Nike Stadium? And obviously Levy's said, well, how much? And they've offered, and they said, no, that's not enough money. Again, you know, I don't know how much it is to sponsor a stadium. Let's say, I don't know, 300 million for 5 years or whatever. Right? I'm picking figures out off the top of my head. Levy says, no, that's not enough. Nike then say, well, that's what we're offering. Then he hasn't got anybody else. So Levy just goes, well, we'll just call it the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and you can keep your money. Well, no, you have to then go, oh, do you know what then? we'll have to call it the Nike Stadium and thank you for the 300 million. You can't just go, well, we'll wait for a bigger offer. Because it's now been, what, a year, year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
You've eventually got to say, okay, well, let's have the money then.
Yeah.
And with the sale of the club as well. If someone's offered money for the club, you know, again, we don't know if anybody has. Eventually, you're going to have to sell it if you want to sell it.
Yeah.
Unless he doesn't want to sell it. And, you know, yeah. But, oh my goodness. Someone's here has asked, who do you think we will sign? You know, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know why, for example, they haven't asked Heung-min Son. You know, who are the other great players in Korea? Because I would love to get some more Korean players over. You know, the fans that come over are terrific. They buy a load of shirts. That, you know, they're brilliant to sit next to. I have had some fantastic. These guys, right, fly over from Korea, okay? Oh, Brighton have just scored.
Brighton have just scored.
Yay!
Ooh, one each. Right? Chelsea sack manager.
These guys, right, fly over from Korea, okay, to see one player, okay? They spend a fortune on the flights. They stay in wherever they stay, come to the, and then they fly home 4 days later, 3 days later. I mean, what devotion is that? I mean, you're in Northern Ireland. You don't even fly over that often.
No. The Koreans have got more money than me, that's what's wrong.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So I wouldn't mind seeing a few more people, yeah. You know, if there's...
Who asked that question there, Steve? Sorry.
I'm not going to say. Because he doesn't like those type of fans. So and I've got no time for people like that.
All right, okay.
So I'm trying to make a point.
Right.
Stuart Forrest says Enoch Mourinho, the players mixture of all three, who is responsible for these abject performances? You know, it is a combination, but at the end of the day, yes, Enoch, Levy, Joe Lewis are in charge of the finances, but I cannot fathom why people haven't acknowledged the fact that it is Mourinho's team now. Yeah. I know it's not his team as in, you know, they're all the players that he's bought. But if you're in a job hole and you've been there for, not, what is it now, 9 months, 10 months?
Chelsea 2-1, sorry.
Oh, of course. 9 months, 10 months. You can't then turn around and go, oh, well, it's somebody else's team. Surely at some point you go, well, it's my team now. And if you don't like the team, then you're out, aren't you? You go. You go, sorry, it's been 10 months. Is it 10 months he's been there now?
I think so, whatever. Yeah. Right? It has to be.
A year and a... sorry. You know, he's been there for a while. He's had a summer transfer window. He's had a January transfer window. Okay. Say, when do we say, when does Mourinho say, okay, it's my team now? Do we give another two windows? I'm happy to do that if that's like the, if that's the general thing that we do. And then, you know, come next summer, it's, But I want him to do it now. I want Mourinho to go, listen, this is my team. Either I get it or I don't. And in, when's the window closed? 2 weeks' time?
2 or 3 weeks, I think it is. Look at.
And he goes, this is my team. Or he goes, oh, it's still not my team, really. And then we go, well, what are you doing here then? You're Mourinho. Yeah.
I think that's it. That's what we all sort of hoped when he came in, that he wouldn't take any nonsense and he'd get the players in that he wants to get in. It's maybe not working out that way. Look, as well, I think he's got 2 or 3 games and he's got 2 weeks to try and get the players and
he'll
go from there.
Otherwise, he'll be sacked. He won't be.
Sacked in the morning.
Levy loves a sack. Belfast Spurs. What's gone on with the club? The identity has been completely lost. It's like watching Wimbledon in the 90s. Well, Wimbledon in the 90s won plenty of football matches. And I don't mind. You know, I don't mind just for this season or next season if we win ugly and, you know, it's not great football. I really don't mind that. If we the magic stardust to get the trophy, as long as we're not going out to Norwich in FA Cups, and when it comes down to the game to get us into fourth, we don't capitulate and lose 2-0 like we did against Chelsea twice. You know, as long as there's that little bit. I mean, even the Europa qualification. You know, we go 1-0 up against Crystal Palace. Palace then equalise, and would have taken was for I think Wolves to, you know, score a couple of goals against Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are we saying there? That he knew that Chelsea were going to win that game. And that's why he didn't push on. Because Palace nearly scored. Actually, if Palace would have scored with that last chance, we wouldn't have got in Europa.
Exactly.
So incredibly lucky, really. Or is it Tactical Masterclass? Or
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Terry Hill, is playing in empty stadium helping or hindering Spurs? Home crowd, if fans were back in, would not accept minimal possession as we were winning. Players would surely react more to the crowd. Think Jose is benefiting from no crowd. I'd agree with that. I think that the crowd, if we did have a crowd on Sunday, I think it would have benefited the team. And you're quite, yeah. Are they going to start chanting, against Jose? Possibly.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's right. But
we
I
want
think
our Tottenham
right.
back, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right. It's probably right for a lot of teams. I think, even if you deliver against Leeds, I think a packed Anfield there on Saturday night and Leeds probably don't get away with what they've done. I think it's a completely different atmosphere at that ground, whenever they're at some. But we're all the same, and I don't know, Steve. I don't think the way the team is at the minute, it would have mattered who.
Yeah.
Who was okay. there,
So let's look at the next 2 weeks then. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I think we'll sneak through on Thursday night.
Right.
1-0, 2-1 maybe.
Yeah, awful game.
Awful game.
Yeah.
I think we'll lose to Southampton.
Yeah.
I think we'll beat 1-2-1.
Yeah, but we'll be abject, and Lloris will make a couple of amazing saves, and really we should have lost by more, and something crazy will happen, and there'll be no one's even talking about the fact that the ball should have been 6 yards behind, because we don't care about that, because we know that we should have, we should have bought Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
And B, why didn't we defend it? Because Dyer, this hard nut, who's supposed to be our tough nut, was pathetic on the cross.
Yeah.
So we'll lose the Southampton. I agree with that.
Yeah. We'll sneak through in the Caribou Cup.
Against Plymouth in an awful game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we'll draw with Castle.
Hang on, we got the Macedonia.
Oh, flipped over.
Terrible game. Terrible game in Macedonia, which will sneak.
Sneak 1-0.
Yeah.
And then we'll draw Newcastle. So we'll have 1 point.
Draw at home to Newcastle in a drab, awful game. So we're looking at four or five dreadful performances. 1-0s. 2-1s maybe.
Boy, I hope we're wrong. I really hope we're wrong. And
you just can't see.
I just can't see it. Yeah. What's going to change?
Yeah.
Like even yesterday, I was sitting going, even bring Eric Lamella on. I was even sitting going because he'll run about and maybe upset a few people and maybe create something. Yeah. I think, sorry, we haven't mentioned him, and is Lo Celso, obviously thinks a bit of a miss. Or is there, he's not, I don't think he's a creative player, but he does give his energy in the midfield. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I would love to see him go with Højbjerg, Lo Celso and Ndombele. And I know people are going, Abishur, what's this guy? And he's really annoyed me, Ndombele as well, but what have we got to lose? Give the guy 4 or 5 games.
I agree. I'll make another prediction for you. Is that Højbjerg will be fired within 4 games, league games, and Sissoko will be back in place.
Yeah, could see it happen.
Yeah. Now whether Højbjerg plays with Sissoko, I'm not sure, and I am by no means Sissoko's biggest fan. Absolutely not. But I think Sissoko will be the best of those three. If you take him, Winks and Højbjerg, I think look at all three over the next few games, and Sissoko will be the least of the three.
I'd agree.
Because Winks, Winks is now, he still hasn't learnt to pass the ball forward. Højbjerg, I think, is an average player. I think Southampton are like, okay, fair enough, whatever. We'll get someone else in. And they probably will, They'll probably get someone from, the French League or the Belgian league or whatever, and it'll be like a terrific little pool in a couple of years, because that's what Southampton do.
I know. Yeah. Well, let's just hope that it isn't as doom and gloom as what we've just said, but yeah. after yesterday's performance, it's hard to see it changing at the minute, but like, you never know. Cars Bielema will be there next week, and we'll be able to beat Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, no chance. I said we've got no chance. You know, the reason I'm saying got no chance, but that's what I would do. I would just go, look, let's him. You know, we'll worry about the finances later. Let's just get this guy in. Because at the moment we are on the floor, and we need picking up.
Unfortunately, I just don't think it's going to happen. But no. You never know.
All right, mate.
Okay, mate. We're sure we'll get another one out here after Southampton, and we'll see what's happened. See if our predictions are true.
Oh, there's one more striker that we could get.
Danny Ings.
No. You know the young.
Oh, the young lad, Chris McKee.
Chris McKee.
He'd do the job. I'll have him down there tomorrow.
Fully fit? Is he fully fit?
Yeah, fully fit. Scored his first goal for the reserves.
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, it's their first game.
Yeah.
First game in 7 months.
Oh.
It's crazy. He done well. Obviously, has to get used to playing the big boys' men's football now. So.
And chances of getting in the first team this year?
Very slim.
So he's not training with the first team? Yet.
No, be training with the reserves. But again, you never say never at that age. It's hard to break through at those clubs. It is.
However, as we've said, strikers are at a premium. They are the player.
Yeah, that's it.
These days, so
he's just got to keep doing what he's doing and hopefully score goals.
He said, keep away from those bars and. You know,
oh, he doesn't. He doesn't go near them.
Sexy girls that.
Thankfully, they're all closed.
Dad. All right, mate.
Okay, mate. Good to chat.
Cheers.
Come on, you Spurs.
See you later.